Okay, we're picking up the Gemara in Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, the second to last words of the Chachamim. Just to remind ourselves, we had Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim with regards to the Mishameris. If you have this the strainer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to suspend the strainer to hold it up. And the Chachamim disagreed, and they said Ain Tolim Mishameris Beyontov, because that would be creating an Oal Harai. Just to point out again, when it comes to this Mishameris, the strainer that they used to have, it used to have a rim, and this rim used to have a handle above it. That's what they're bothered by over here. This handle above it is putting that on. That would create an ohel arai. So the Gemara says, "What iser is it?" The Gemara wonders now. Ibailu, they wondered tala mai. So if someone actually does suspend the strainer, what halacha has he violated? Is violated an iser derabanan, or possibly even an iser deraisa? So we're wondering, is this ohel arai? Is this going to be an iser deraisa or iser derabanan? The Gemara says now, "I'm Rav Yosef tala chayv chatas." That someone who does this would be chayv chatas. Rav Yosef is understanding that this would be an iser deraisa, and doing so therefore by accident would require you to get to bring a korban chatas, as the din is normally for someone who violates an iser deraisa. The Gemara says, "Amar le Abaye, ela me'ata tala kuza besekisa hachad amid bechayv." So Abaye challenged Rav Yosef. He says, "Is that really true? If someone was going to suspend a jug from a peg, would you also agree that someone would be chayav a deraisa on that? Obviously not. That's something that's clearly not permanent. That's something that's very, very temporary. Something that's temporary, we know, would not be an iser deraisa. So therefore, he's comparing it to that. He's saying that if something is very temporary, that would not be an iser deraisa. So to over here, this is a temporary, this strainer is temporary, so therefore it should only be an iser derabanan. So turning on to the next Amma, the Gemara says, Ela Amar Abaye. So therefore, Abaye wants to answer midrabanani that in fact this is not an iser deraisa to suspend the strainer to tola the mishmish mishamer, as rather it's only derabanan. As it would be, right, that's Ovelarai is only going to be iser derabanan. Because if someone does that, that would be doing it as acting as if in the way that he's going to be doing it as he acts during the weekday. This concept of acting during the weekday and this prohibited din of the Gzera Derabanan is a very important concept called Uvda Dechol, doing a weekday activity. And generally, there's two assumptions in the Rishonim how to understand Uvda Dechol. There's Rashi and the Rashba who understand that Uvda Dechol is doing a weekday activity that is something that would potentially lead to a malach. I can't just assume every weekday activity is also during Shabbos. It's not true. We know there are things that you're allowed to do in the week, allowed to do on Shabbos as well. Rather, if something that in some way can lead you to do malacha, or a process leading up to do malacha, the Rabbanan are going to say that that's usur, because we're afraid that acting in your weekly routine, you're going to forget, and you're going to come to do a malacha. So therefore, in the case of here, of assembling the strainer, we're assuming that this case would lead to someone to do an ohel, and do an ohel deraisa, to do a real ohel deraisa, and do an iser deraisa. Other Rishonim disagree, and they understand that that fundamentally, when it comes to uvda dechol, the getter is going to be something that resembles a malacha. Not necessarily something that you're doing during the week, something's going to resemble a malacha, and it looks like a malacha, therefore someone can make a mistake and come to do a real ohel because they're going to say, oh, this is okay, and therefore I'm going to do that. That's another understanding in Rishonim and Achronim, and this is a big concept of when to use this, when to apply this. It's very difficult because the gedarim, as we mentioned, are not so clear. That's like, I remember Rav Avadya, like when it comes to toothbrush, the big shaila, but memareach and other isurim that potentially would apply if someone is applying a toothbrush and brushing his teeth on Shabbos. So Rav Avadya gets around almost all the isurim, but he says in the end of the day, it's uvda dechol. It looks like it's something that's a malacha, so therefore you should be machmir. And then I think that's why he says if you have a specific Shabbos toothbrush, then according to Rav Avadya, he is, I think if I remember correctly, he's going to be mekel. But again, that's a big shaila, when to apply uvda dechol, a very important concept. Okay, with that, we're ready to move on. So therefore, Abaye says that this is a bit dindar about it. So now the Gemara says, "Menakid Abaye Chumrei Masnisa Vetane." So now, just a bunch on the subject of Abaye saying this, because one of the concepts is going to come up over here. Abaye took a collection of different prices and he taught them together and he organized them together for us. And what are they? Hagud v'amishameres kila v'kisa v'galin. All these examples are going to be Yisrim d'Rabbanan. And since we mentioned mishameres, that's in that list, that's why we mentioned the other four parenthetically. So if you have this leather bag, Rashi points out this leather bag is a bag that had these type of strings, and people used to carry them, and they used to put liquids inside, like wine or milk and things like that. And when he would stop at night, he would hang the bag and open it very wide in order to have the air circulate, and that the food inside, the milk or the wine, whatever we're discussing over here, would be not spoiled. So we're telling over here that doing this would be creating an ohel arai, and therefore it's going to be usur. That's good. Mishamer is what we just mentioned about the strainer. Kila is the canopy over here. A kina is a canopy which goes down from either side of the bread, and doing that would be, if it's a tefach width, is going to be an Israel Rabbanan as well of creating oil, right? And also kise galin. Kise galin is literally the people who lived in Galin. They used to have this type of bed that had different sections to it, and you would be able to disassemble and reassemble together, and that would also be usher to do on Shabbos. The Gemara now says lo yas, in all these examples you shouldn't make them on Shabbos and Yantav. V'imasa patra v'lasra. However, if you did do them, you would not be chayav midor reisa. However, you'd be violating iser dirabanan, because as we mentioned, all these would create an ol arai. Creating an ol arai, that, except for the exception of potentially the bed one, that could be they were afraid that you're going to come to do it tightly, it would be hiduk, and then doing that would be the iser d'oraisa of bone or of makam padish. But the other ones are going to be the first three iser because of all right. The fourth one is the inshallah why it's mentioned grouping together if it's a potential different iser. But either way, that one is mentioned. Ol keva lo yasa. Now, general person not allowed to make a ol keva, permanent tent, on Shabbos. However, if he did, if you accidentally do that, not the iser d'rabanan, ol permanent ol is going to be an iser de oraisa, part of the tolda of bone, iser making an ohel. However, if you have a bed, a folding chair, a folding toilet seat, all these examples are something which Rashi points out you can take on and take off very easily, then mutl nozel lechatchila, since they are only in one piece, and they also are very easy to go up and down, so you're not making, you're already taking a ki'ilu, a pre-constructed OL, and putting it in its place. That is not going, like unfolding a chair, like let's say you have, you know, a folding chair, unfolding that, that is easily open and closed, that is going to be mutter to do on Shabbos. The big shaila is that there was a big tumult about this when it first came, about the an umbrella. What would be the din of an umbrella? So the Nodibi Yehuda wants a tiny, he has as far as to assume that even going to be an Isra D'Oraisa, because you want the space underneath and you're creating a gag of a tefach, and he wants a tiny that would be an Isra D'Oraisa. The Chazon Ish points to this Gemara, and he says, really, if anything, I would have been dominant most to the mita chutzav kaskel, something that is fundamentally in one piece. You're just opening something, and like a folding chair, you're allowed to open it up. Lechora, that would not be an iser for sure d'oraisa of he ends up coming. The Chazon Ish seems to assume that it's more uvda d'chol, but an iser d'rabbanan nonetheless. And you should be machmir about the umbrella, but the Nodim Yehuda really wants to assume that maybe potentially be an iser d'oraisa. The Chazon Ish is a very compelling argument to assume that it wouldn't necessarily be an iser d'oraisa, maybe uvda d'chol something else that resembles a malacha, but for sure to assume it's mamash an iser d'oraisa, it's a little bit difficult based on the Gedarim that we're seeing in this Gemara over here. Okay, but either way, that's what the famous Machlokas was over there. And the Chacham say, you're not allowed to pour this into a strainer on Shabbos. And Gemara now says, they wondered about this also. Shimer Mai, if you did this, violated the din and you strain the wine on Shabbos, what's going to be the lacha? Is it din d'oraisa or banana? Amar Rav Kahana, Shimer Chayav Chatas. Rav Kahana holds that this is an iser d'oraisa of straining, and that is going to be an iser d'oraisa. The Gemara says now, Maski v'Rav Sheshi v'Zedek Meika Midi d'Rabbanim Chayav Chatas Rabbi Eliezer Sharei Chachilas. He says, wait a second, if you want to assume that this is an iser d'oraisa of Lefida Chachamim, that is very difficult, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that this is mutter to do even lechachila. He'll tell you, if you come to ask him, he would tell you, oh, totally fine, you can come along and do this lechachila. Now, why is it so problematic? The Rishonim are bothered. What do you mean? We have examples earlier. We had this example about tying the bow, where Rabbi Yehuda said that it is an iser d'oraisa, and others argued that no, that it would be mutter lechatchila. So they say, no, here's even more difficult. The Gedder is even more difficult over here, because we see Rabbi Eliezer is going against the Shita of Chachamim. So he's a Das Yachid. He knows he's a Das Yachid. The Chachamim, most of his counterparts, most of his colleagues disagreed with him, and they hold there's an iser d'oraisa, and he's saying this is mutter lechatchila. It's very difficult to assume Rabbi Eliezer would ever do that, say something that it's iser d'oraisa according to the majority of people, and come along and say that it's okay to do. So the Gemara says that, wait a second, is it really true that we can't have a concept of machlokas tanaim that are back and forth that are going to be an iser d'oraisa, and one says that it's mutter? Maskev Lev Yosef, Alamalo, is it really possible? Why? Maybe there is an example of that. What's the example? The right ear shall zav. If you have the city of gold, literally, right, the ear shall zav, that was the ornament of the lady. The ladies used to walk out with this ear shall zav. Rabbi Akiva made it for his wife, right? So this was a very nice thing that they used to wear. Rabbi Meir mechayev chatas. Rabbi Meir holds that a person who walks out with them in Rosh Hashanah is going to be chayev a chatas, because he's going to assume that Rabbi Lezer is going to hold that it's mutter, totally mutter, lechatchila. The Gemara Gemara says, we'll get into Machlokas right now. Why one say it's mutar chachila, one say it's aser? Ma'i, so where's the source for this? Decided the Braisa tells us, lo teisa isha b'ir shel zav. A woman's not allowed to go on a Shabbos, again, with an area without an Erev, so it's aser to carry there. She can't go out wearing this city of gold, this ir shel zav. Agav, I forgot to mention, this Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, what it exactly was, right? Rashi said earlier that it was a clasp. Tosfos hold it as a type of tiara. So that was the Machlokas, what did she learn? If she wears, go out with it, the Braisa of the Tanakhama says, v'im yatsa chayv chatas, that she's vayad an isra, raisa divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that it is considered, they always had the geder over there, whether it's a masa, if something that's going to be if it's something that's a burden or something that's going to be an ornament. So if you assume that's a burden, then you're not allowed to carry it out of the derech, and Rameh holds it like that, she's not allowed to wear it outside whatsoever. Chachamim lo teitze v'imetza petura. Chachamim say no, only midarabanan it's going to be aser. She shouldn't lechachil go out. If she does, she would put her from a chatas. So offering only she vada midarabanan, because we're afraid, according to Rabbanan, that she's a very nice thing. A tiara, she's going to come to show all of her friends. So she's going to show them, and they're going to walk out for almost. She's rabbin, as a general din for things we're afraid someone will take off. Chachamim told you that you should be careful to not let her take it off on Shabbos, and therefore she should midarabanan not take it into the Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Lezer Omer Yotze Isha B'Zer Zal L'Chachila. Rabbi Lezer says, no, it's totally fine. Let her go out L'Chachila, and there's no issues whatsoever. So we see that Rabbi Lezer, on the one hand, is matter something L'Chachila, whereas Rabbi Meir, in the same Braisa, said there's an Isra D'Raisa. So it's possible to have a really far-fetched machlokas where one holds something is mutter, one holds that it's an Isra D'Raisa. To which Abaye says, no, I'm really Abaye. Wait a second. Me suffered Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Meir Kai De Amar Chayves Chattas. Rabbi Lezer wasn't responding to Rabbi Meir, who said that it's something is an Isra D'Raisa. He's coming off of Adarabanan Kai. He's coming off of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say it's only an Isra D'Rabbanan. So he's coming. He's not so far more machmir. He's saying, you hold it's only an Isra D'Rabbanan. I'm just going to extend that. I'm just saying, by the way, I think that's totally mutter, not even an Isra D'Rabbanan. And he's not to be contrasted with Rabbi Meir's opinion to assume that there would be an Isra D'Rabbanan is not the purpose of this Braisa. Tosfos just point out that at the end of the day, what exactly is the teretz of here? We have Machlokas Rabbi Meir on one end that says something is an Isra D'Rabbanan, and Rabbi Lezer says that something is mutter, lechadchila. Why isn't that still a kasha? But wait, based on the Gedder that we saw before, in the name of other Rishonim, that if something is a Das Yachid versus the Rabbim, in that circumstance, it would be extremely difficult to find the fact that something was, that Rabbi Lezer would say something as Mutter, and the Chachamim, most people are going to disagree and hold this to Raisa, so that one will line up here very nicely, because Rabbi Meir is only one Shita, and Rabbi Lezer is entitled to say something Mutter Lechatchila against only one colleague, only against one of his Chavirim. However, if the Rov people said it, then you would have a Raya against what we just said over here, that would answer Lechor nicely, what Tosfos was bothered by. There really would be a proof from this back and forth over here. Now the Gemara comes in. In the case of the Amalacha, when it comes to the Isra D'Raisa of a person who is going to be doing this training, so what are you going to warn him about? So that we know that there's generally three malachos that are very similar to each other. We have Zorah, which is winnowing, Borer, which is sorting, and Merak, which is sifting. All of them basically are performing the same goal. At the end of the day, you're taking something that you didn't want, and you're going to separate it the parts that you do want, generally with food. And that these malachos, that's why the Gemara is asking over here, what do you warn him with? There's a famous Tosfos Bava Kamma discussed that you have to have to warn the guy with the specific av that he has to do. If you warn him with a tolda, maybe at the wrong tolda, it would be a problem, and the guy wouldn't be chayav misa. Okay, but that's a discussed over here, because the Gemara is discussing what do you warn him about. The Gemara says Rabba Amar Mishum Borer. Rabba says because you're sorting. Rabbi Zera Amar Mishum Rak. Rabba says no, because of sifting. The Gemara now is going to quote both of their shitas and what the rayas were. Amar Rabba. Rabba says Kavasi Didi Mistavra, because in my opinion it makes more sense. Why? Because my Dargul Shabor Notel Ochel Maneach Chapsulas Hachanami Notel Ochel Maneach Chapsulas. Generally, the way the normal manner of doing sorting is you take the food and you leave the part that you don't want behind. So here too, you're straining the wine, you're taking the food, and you're leaving the part you don't want behind. When you're filtering the wine, you're taking the wine and leaving out the part that you don't want behind it. So therefore, that's very similar to the malacha of Borer. That's what the Gemara wants to tell on this one. So Rabbi Zera says, no, I'm Rabbi Zera. Kavasi mitzvah, like me, it makes more sense. Why? Because madar, koshal merakit, psalos malala, v'chlamata. The general way of sifting is that the part that you don't want stays on top, where the food is going to go below. Af hachanami, psalos milmala, v'ochal milmata. So too over here, when it comes to the wine, we're saying the part that you don't want is going to stay on the top, and the part that you do want is going to be going, the wine is going to go in below. That is the derech of sifting, and according to that, that is why it's different over here. And he says more similar to the malacha of sifting of sifting as opposed to borer merakin. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Tanya Rabbi Cheskel learned out talis kfula leyase So a person shouldn't make an ol if he has a folded over garment over here. Rashi points out that when you spread over the garment and you have four pegs on the side of each of these, when it comes to the bed over here, so then you spread them out and you want the space underneath, that would be creating, because of a shade or whatever it might be, any reason you have a gag, that would be creating an ol arai, and that is usur, and also to do only derabanan, because again, it's only temporary nature, it's arai, and therefore it's only usur derabanan, not usur deraisa. So the Gemara says, however, if there was a string or rope that was wrapped around this garment before Shabbos or Yom Tov, then it would be mutter lechachila to extend it, because this is the concept we saw before. If you have an existing oel to be mosif ala oel, there would be mosif ala oel. It's already out. That would not be an issue, because the Chachamim said in that case they're not kosher, because you already had the oel was already set, and extending it, which is mutter, is only nisur derabanan anyway. In that circumstance, they were not kosher. The Gemara says now, by minei Rav Kana Mirav kile ma, what's going to be the lacha with regards to a canopy? The Gemara says now, let us spread it out on Shabbos. That's the question. Amr Leis, so Rav said to Rav Kana, af mita asura, that even inside a bed is going to be asura. Mita maus, and Rav says, what about a bed itself? Amr Leis, af kila muteris, canopy is permitted. Wait a minute, just said kila before is asur. Now we're saying it's muter. So the Gemara is going to discuss all three of these cases. Kila, mita maus, what's the case about both of them? Amr Leis, Rav said to Rav Kana, kila asura, mita muteris, the canopy is going to be asura, and the bed is going to be permitted. So what exactly was the shakta of it? The Gemara says, look, Asher, there's no difficulty in explaining what Rav said. Okay. So what says the ad kamar af mita asura, when Rav says that even a bed is going to be asur, that is the beds of Kiddik Ramanai, that the type of people of the Kramanai, as Rashi points out, was the same as the earlier people that we saw, the people of Galin, that those people are the same. So those two, just like it's going to be an Issur Rabban over there, because we're afraid you're going to come to do it Hiduk, to do it tightly, and then you'd be an Ayla Issur Deraisa, so to over here, then it's going to be Usur Midirabanan. So now the Gemara says, what about what's the canopy? When is it going to be permitted? Kidirai Bar Cheskel, that's with the Rabban Cheskel, that if there was a string of rope tied around the garment, and then you put it in strongly before Yom Tov Shabbos, it's permitted to continue it, because that would be mosif al ol, which is mutter. Kila asura mita mutaris, when a canopy is going to be asur and the bed is going to be permitted, kididan, that refers to our types of beds and canopies, where according to the way we have our normal beds, that you're going to set it down on its legs, that just is just opening and closing it. That's like the getter that we saw before, that there's something just opening and closing, that would be the kilo would be usher, and the mita of the bed, our type of bed, would not be an issue to create on Shabbos. And right now it says, Amar Rav Yosef, Chazina lai l'chul l'kile de Rav Huna de me'orsa nagidu metzarfa chaviz ramas. It was a mice Rav. I saw the canopies in the house of Rav Huna, that in the nighttime they were spread out, and then the next morning they were thrown down to the ground. So why is he bringing this as a proof? Because we know that binyan and soser, bona and stira, are always fundamentally linked. That if something is usher to be bona, that's usher, so soser is usher to destroy that same thing. If it's usher to destroy, then it's going to be, if it's mutter to destroy, let's say, then it'd be mutter to build it, because it wouldn't be an issue of binyan mistira. So now they're pointing out that Rav Huna, he would spread out these canopies on Friday night, and the next morning they would put them down to the ground, so that if there is an Isser of Stira, then there'd be an Isser of Bona also. So the fact that he was allowed to do this and put it down shows that there was no Isser of Soser. So there shows also that the fundamental link of the Binyan would not be Usser either. That's what he's bringing out this proof of here, that Rav Huna would hold that it was Mutter, because they allowed spreading it out, these canopies as well. That's what we're trying to bring a proof, that these canopies would be Mutter, the fear of Huna, to spread out. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav, that a curtain is allowed to be hung and allowed to be taken down on Shabbos. Why? Because Rashi points out that fundamentally, we saw this before, that it's like a mechitza, that something that doesn't have a gag, it doesn't have a roof to it, that's not called an oel. It's not something that you're using the space underneath. And just having the curtain is going to be mutter in all circumstances. The Gemara, based on the Tosos and Erevin, the Tosos quoted the Gemara and Erevin, and therefore made together that there's one exception to that. If you have a mechitza mutaris, if you have a curtain that is functioning to separate the room, that's ki'ilu midarabana, it's going to be usher, because it creates a new room which is similar to OL. So that would be an example that we would have, the Lachla Maisa would come up. But let's say if you have a person wants to have relations with his wife and there's a light in the room, so it's usher to have relations. So if you want to make a mechita there, that's a very big shaila. Or a similar thing about the actual making the Erev was the case of Torah, so it's just asking. And another Maisa we quoted up, the Lachla Maisa, was the famous shaila about making a mechitza on a mechitza between men and women, separating them for davening. If you hold it fundamentally mechitza hamataris, it's meant to match the room now to daven, then there might be room to be machmer. I think Rav Moshe was machmer, but many poskim, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and Rav Shavkar Shlita, many were make on machela as well. Okay, that's just a side point about a vilon, about a curtain. The Gemara continues now. V'amar Shmuel Mishum Rav Chia. Shmuel said the name of Rav Chia. Now turning on to the next avod. Kilas asanim mutel and tosa umutel porka. That if you have the canopy of this of the chasen, the person getting married, it's allowed to be hung and allowed to be taken down on Shabbos, since it the Gemara is going to say over here that it's dafka like a, it's like a teepee, right? It has a triangular top, so we're assuming that therefore, since it's not, it doesn't have an oil, which is it doesn't have a tefach on the top, therefore it's not really considered a gag, and therefore it would be mutter. And the Gemara is going to qualify this with four different qualifications to assume when it's going to be mutter to do this. And the Gemara says Amar Shishu Breider of Edi Lo Amar El Shein Begag Tefach. The first point is like we already mentioned, that the top of it, the roof, the narrow part on the top, right? This teepee, the triangle shaped top point, has to not have a tefach wide. However, if it does have a tefach wide, then it's going to be like a regular oil, and then that's going to be usher to use it, to have this on Shabbos, to make this on Shabbos. But not only that, even when the top doesn't have, the very top doesn't have a tefach wide also, you have to also go three tefachim down from that point also, because if, because if you go down three tefachim, and still at that point there would be an area of a tefach, that would be ki'ilu, the top part has a part of a tefach also, and that would be a problem of oil as well. Why? Because that's the concept of lavud, that if you go down three tefachim and there is a space of a tefach at that point, that's ki'ilu, the top of it also had the tefach, and that would be creating an oil arai, which would be also, that was the second qualification. Now the third qualification, also, not only that, the bottom part where the slope is, that point also can't have if that has a tefach beneath the slope, that is going to be usher, take it down to Shabbos. And the sloping of the sides of the canopy is like the sides, is like the canopy itself as well. And that's the third qualification. And also, we don't say this exception only when the bottom of the bed do not have, extend a tefach below the bed. However, but if they extend a tefach below the bed, it is going to be usher to take it down on Shabbos. Rashi just points out that before, that when it came to the qualification that we had before, that lechora, this, if you're not able to have the two tefachim on the bottom part, then this thing is going to be tiny. What are you able to do with this? Rashi says it must have been used for a decorative purpose, because actually to sit under it is going to basically be extremely unusable. So that's something that would be what would be just for decoration, that based on that, right? In Rashi's Kilchum, in the solution taftea, that wasn't used for sleeping, it was just used for decorations. Now, another point, the Gemara says over here, the last point, that if it goes a tefach below, it's going to be usher to hang it up on Shabbos. So now, based on that, though, shouldn't it be a problem that it shouldn't be a problem of spreading a tablecloth on a table or spreading a bed sheet on a bed? Because if those go more than a tefach, let's say the tablecloth, it's very common, they'll go more than a tefach off of the table. Isn't that this getter that the Gemara is mentioning over here, that it should be usher? So the Mefarshim explained that that fundamentally is not the same, because when it comes to the case of spreading the cloth, you want to use the oil over the area below it. You want to use it. So therefore, you're creating an oil, and we're assuming that that is the purpose of why you're doing it, and that's why it's going to be usher. However, over here, when it comes to the sheet across the bed, or the example of the tablecloth, you never want the purpose of underneath the sheet. You just want the sheet so you're not touching the bed. You want the tablecloth so you don't get the table dirty. That's not using any of the area, surface area underneath it for an oil, and therefore it would be mutter, and there would not be a problem whatsoever, even if you have a tefach going out of your tablecloth. And I don't think anyone, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think anyone is necessarily machmir on that shiloh. Okay, now the Gemara continues with Amar Rav Sheshes Breider of Edi, Rav Sheshes in the name of Edi, Hai Siana Shari, that if you have this type of hat, which was made of felt, it's permitted to wear it on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, what would be the shiloh? Atmer Siana Asra. But wait a second, the Breisa tells us that wearing it is actually Asra on Shabbos. So when is it Asra, when is it Mutter? So where wants it to tear? It's now Lokasha, there's no Kasha between the two, the statement of Rav Sheshes Breider of Edi and the Breisa, because Hadi Isbe Tefach, the example of the Breisa, is assuming that the brim of the hat has a Tefach wide, and the brim of the hat wearing that hat is like oh alright, which would be an usher iser derbanan. Hadlois pe tefach, whereas Rosh Hashanah is referring to the brim of the hat doesn't have a tefach wide, and therefore it's going to be permitted to wear this hat on Shabbos. And where wants to reject this answer? And where says elam atam sharbiv beglimay tefach? If someone wants to extend his coat, a tefach, or whatever he's wearing, a tefach beyond one's head, hachanami to mechayev, we're going to assume that also in that example he's going to be chayev. It can't be that the clothing ever has the shiloh of oil, so why should his hat be a problem either? So therefore, we were assuming that the lechora that wouldn't be a problem to wear the hat either. The Gemara answers ela lokasha adamadek halu demahadek. So now there's a big shaila. Fundamentally, is the Gemara falling off of the problem, saying that the hat is bechal shayach to oel, or is the Gemara keeping in line with that? So first, we'll go with Rashi. Rashi's understanding that it's not, we're falling off of the answer of the tevach being anything to do with ol, and we're assuming that the fact that it's tight versus not tight is whether or not a person is going to drop it in Rosh Hashanah. If you're going to wear Rosh Hashanah and it's loosely fitted to you, then we're afraid you're going to concern that you will, you're going to drop it and carry in Rosh Hashanah. So nothing to do with ol, would be totally fine to wear a tevach, more than a tevach, as long as it's tight and not going to fall off in Rosh Hashanah, then there's no issue whatsoever. However, the Rach and Rush and the Tosfos over here, they say that no, we're still talking about ol on Shabbos. And the difference between mehadik and lo mehadik is if something is going to be more tefach wide and strong, then it is going to be usher to wear. And lo mehadik, if it's not tight, if it's not a tightly fitted and strong like a hard material, then it would not be an issue. And that actually is the psak of Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch goes like Tosfos, and they paskin. And Shulchan Aruch paskins that if it's a tefach wide, lechora, it should be a problem. So that's a very big shaila that Tzitz Eliezer has asked. Why is even the very firm people aren't so machmir about this din? The Shulchan Aruch seems to be pretty clear that we paskin like Tosfos that if a hat is more than a tefach wide, those who wear black hats on Shabbos, it's a kula, right? Does that come out? It's a kula? No. So lechora, that Rav Neiman Tzal Agav is machmir lechachira for that. His hats on Shabbos apparently are, I don't have a chance to look, I just know that's what he holds, that you should try to be machmir for this and have them less than a tefach wide. I think that it's style anyway now. The short brims are in style nowadays, so those for Shabbos, lechora, are actually much better to be wearing if they're less than a tefach wide in the front. So you have a smaller hat for Shabbos, that lechora of Nemetzal is machmer lechachil, and he'll even tell people, I think also, a lot of times he has his own chumras on himself, but here I think, based on Shulchan Aruch, I think he'd tell people as well that they should be machmer for this din. Okay, very interesting halacha that comes out, also wearing like a hat for the rain. Lechora is also by like a baseball hat. Just wearing that for the rain, lechora would be a shaila as well, because you're doing it to protect you from the area underneath. And it's more than a tefach, that's a very big shaila as well. A person should figure out whether that's going to be mutter either. The Gemara continues now. Shalach le Rav Chesel Ravuna. Imalan izi anach mila mal yastamat lamashin rav. So tell me, my good friend, tell me the three things that you heard of the name of Rav. Tarte b'Shabbos v'chada b'Torah. Tell me two things you heard of in Hilchos Shabbos and one thing in the Torah itself in Agadata. So Marsha Shalach le Ravuna sent back. I'll tell you. Hadisana good b'chnisa mutter lintos b'Shabbos. Shabbos. That which we taught in the brisa that it's permitted to hang a leather bag by its straps on Shabbos, as we mentioned above. So the Gemara says, that's only taught where it's tied two people. But if it's only one person, it's going to be usher. What's the difference? And if you have two people doing it, then we're assuming that it's not going to spread it tightly. And therefore, it's not going to be an OLRI. However, if one person are afraid you're going to do it tightly, and that would create an OLRI, which would be potentially look like a Mexico. Oh, this is all explained in the Mishnah of Rashi, and therefore be usher and midrabanan to do on Shabbos. In other regards, Amara, by a related halacha, v'kila afilu b'asar b'nei adam usher. That a canopy even spread out by 10 people is going to be usher. Yashu delam mechante b'porta, because impossible to swear a portion of it would not be spread privately and tightly, and therefore it'd be medome like an OL. It'd be medome like a permanent OL, which therefore it looks bad as a Mexic OL, and therefore it's Aser Midarabanan to create this on Shabbos. The Gemara continues quoting Rav's second ruling. Idach Mai, what's the second ruling of Rav? The side, as we learn in the Braisa, Kira Shenishbuta Achad Mekotev. If you have an oven, which one of its legs break off, Mutil Talto is permitted to take it, to move it on Shabbos, because it still has a function. Since it still has a function, it would be something which is going to be Klishon Achdol Le'Isser, so then you can move it L'Torach Gufo L'Torach Mekom. However, Shtayim, if two of its legs fell off, and therefore it doesn't have a function anymore, usher, therefore then it's going to ruin it to mukhma masa guf, and lechora, you're not allowed to move it whatsoever. There's a kula, some say maybe even mukhma masa guf, or this example, maybe it's mutter to move it, leterach mukhma as well. That's a big shayla about that. And I think we're still extending that. Let's say you have a wheel that falls off of a stroller, or something like that, or glasses, like one of your glasses fall off, the side of the, or one of the lenses of the glasses fall off. That Rav Shlomo Zalman extended that to this din as well, where he thought it would be usher to move it fundamentally on Shabbos as well. Rav Amar Rav says afilu chad nami usher, that even if it loses one of its legs, it's going to be usher. Gzera Hashem Yisaka. Another issue, because we're afraid you're going to come to put it in tightly, which putting it back in tightly would be an isser deraisa of taka of doing it strongly. So therefore, we have a gzera over there. Even if one of them falls out, that's the shita of Rav. The Marna says Torah, so that was the two halachas. Then now, when it comes to Torah, what did he say about Torah? The Amar Rav said, "Asida Torah Shishang Mishael." Remember, from one son, the Torah is going to be forgotten from Klai Yisrael. Shenimar, Vifla Hashem as Maku Secha. The Gemara says that Hashem is going to give you extraordinary kilu blows, hits. V'haflaz in your demayel. What are these hits? What is the Gemara says? Shulomer Lachen. The Gemara Maku Dorish is Pesukim. Shulomer Chaniu Moshe Haflaz Amazeh Haflev Haflev. The Gemara is different just over here. Then I'm going to give you extraordinary Haflev Haflev. And the hemshech of the pasuk is I'm going to lose wisdom. So we see that hafla is referring to forgetting Torah. So people are going to forget Torah. That's what's going to happen in the later times. So when they came to Karen B'Yavin, we know that was part of the Gullus, when they saved Karen B'Yavin, the Tenli Yavin Chachamea, that was when Sanhedrin went to Gullus, they went to Gullus Yavin as well, before the Korban of Bayit Sheni. They said the Torah is going to be forgotten from Klai Yisrael, Shnemar, Hine Yami Hashem, Nim Hashem, Shlach Li Rav Ba'aretz, Lechem, V'lo Matzah, Lechem, V'lo Tzama, L'mayim, Kin L'shem, Matzah, Re'ah Hashem. The days are going to come, and people are going to be hungry. There's not a hunger for bread. There's a hunger to hear words of Hashem. Uchsiv, V'na'u, M'niyam, Ad Yom Tzafot, V'ad Mizrach, and come from the sea and from the north and to the east. V'shatul V'akash, Dabar Hashem, V'lo Matzah, they're going to look for the Hashem, and they can't, the word of Hashem, V'lo Matzah, and they cannot find the word of Hashem, Nevach, they're not going to know the Torah. The Gemara says, Dabar Hashem, Zu Alacha, the reference of Dabar Hashem is referring to Alacha. Dabar Hashem, Zakates. And the second Dvar Hashem is referring to when Mashiach is going to come and when we're going to be removed from the exile. Dvar Hashem, Zo Nevuah. And the third Dvar Hashem is referring to the Nevuah, to have prophecy. So we see over here that Torah is eventually going to be forgotten from Klai Yisrael. That's the Pasuk. Umay Yishtotu Levakash Dvar Hashem. So what's this Lashon of? They're going to look around and not going to know the word of Hashem. The Gemara says, Amru Asida Isha Shetitel Kikar Shel Truma. Woman's going to bring a loaf of bread to a tummy, about that she was with tamim and tamim oven, with taxer be basic nessa vetch majosh lidam tmea vim torah, vein mavin, and no one's gonna know if it's Torah or tamim. The Gemara says, what do you mean, Torah tmea? Everyone knows that it's a pasuk. Harishtev mikol ochashecha, they're not forget the explicit psukim, state the fairish and psukim. That's not something that the Klai Yisrael are gonna forget. The pasuk says clearly that when it comes to klicharis in oven, it's clear in the Torah law that the Torah be fairish is like that it's going to be tamim. Rather, ela lidam rishoni mishinah. Is it gonna be first degree tuma or second degree tuma? We know something touches it, ava tuba, and ava makes a reason. And Rishon makes a Sheni, depending on food and Ochan and Mashkin. Ve'in Mevin, and no one's going to understand the Torah to know whether or not it's a Rishon or Sheni. The Gemara says also, Hanami Mastisin, they're not going to forget Beferish of Psukim. We're going to forget Beferish of Psukim or Beferish of Mishnayos. Mishnayos also the real Iker of Torah Shabbat, but that we're going to know as well. Just things, the deeper Kavanas and more Svaras, that we're afraid we're going to forget. And what's the Beferish of Mishnah? It's not a Sheretz, it's a Minim, it's a Tanner. If you have a Sheretz, it's fine in the oven. Hapasha Batocha Shneyash, Tanner Tchila. The bread in the oven is going to be a second degree Tumah. It's going to be Shneyah because the oven itself is first degree. And therefore, we see clearly that the Sheretz makes the oven a Rishon, and the Sheni is going to be the bread. So what exactly was the suffix? That's a Beferish submission. Everyone's going to know the submission. The Gemara answers, Mistafkala, the Amar Le Ravada, Rava Le Rava. So they're going to be afraid because of Ravada and Rava Lechzehai. Tanura Kamanda Mila Tuma Vetavi Pas Rishonah. If you view the oven as it's full of Tuma, right? Matama Kilchamach, the Malay Tuma Rashi says that it's going to be Ke'ilu, that we view the whole thing as full of Tuma. So then we could assume maybe the bread would be a Rishon Le Tuma, not a Sheni Le Tuma. The Gemara says Amar Le, Lo Amrina Le Chazi Le Tanura Kamanda Le Tuma. We don't say this Alacha, the oven viewed as full Tuma, Desana, because we learn it, right? So Yachal Kol Akilim Matam and Bavar Lechlaris, you throw a thought that it's going to contradict the airspace of the earthenware vessel. Tamalomer, Kol Asher Besocha, Itmar, Kol Amcha Asher Achel. So we learn after, from all the food that is eaten, we're going to learn after the Ocha Matam Devar Vek Lecharis. Only the food is going to be Batame through an earthenware vessel. Vain Kelim Matam Devar Vek Lecharis, as opposed to Kelim utensils are not going to contract Tuba through an airspace of the Klei Charis. So we see from here that if the Klei Charis, the utensils, contract them in this manner, we're going to view the oven, we don't view the oven as it's full of tuna. So the Gemara is saying that we really had the suffix about Ravada Barava, and Ravada Barava said this, so we're not really sure what's going to happen. Okay, we'll pick up Mirza Hashem, the beautiful Lashon of Tanya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which the Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Breslov made famous. This pasuk is on the seal of Rashbi when you go to Meiron. We'll pick up with this famous Gemara in terms of a whole song. We'll pick up this Gemara Mirza Hashem tomorrow.